Welcome to episode 18 of the Rebel Buddhist Podcast, where we talk about how to coach yourself so you can get out of your own way and start creating the life you are meant to live. Welcome to the Rebel Buddhist Podcast, where we explore how to use the science of psychology, Eastern spiritual practices like mindfulness and compassion, and the game-changing work of self-coaching so you can free your mind and free your life. I'm your host, Anna Verzoni. Hey, hey, humans, what is up? Welcome to the podcast. I'm so psyched to be here today. I was thinking about some topics to choose, and I realized that the ones I really wanted to do were a bit too advanced without giving you some more self-coaching tools. So I'm going to be talking to you about how to coach yourself today. I've obviously talked about how to do this throughout really all of the podcasts up to this point, but I wanted to do just one specifically about using the mindfulness model to coach yourself. And it sounds really abstract, right? The mindfulness model. But really, I think of it as a form of active meditation or applied meditation. We've all heard of mindfulness and meditation, but often the issue I hear that comes up is something like, I've been meditating for years, and while it helps relax me in the moment, I just find I'm not changing in the way I hoped. I'm not getting nicer or less angry or more content. So you see, it's all good on the cushion, but what happens off the cushion? So that's what I'm going to teach you today, how to take mindfulness to the next level in real life. In the messy stuff, the arguments with your partner, the racist in your office, the family member that's constantly judging you. Because you, fellow human, deserve to be free. And it starts with freeing your mind. Now, to help you out, I wanted you to know that you can go to the show notes or to annaverzoni.com/podcast and go to this episode and download a visual of the mindfulness model so you can look at it as you're listening. And if you're driving right now or something, don't worry, it'll still make sense to you how I'm explaining it. Before I get started, though, I want to address an email that I got from Pam, one of my clients. And I love it because I think it goes along really well with what we're going to be talking about in the mindfulness model today. She says, "Hi, Anna. I'm one of your students in Freedom School, and I listen to your podcast all the time. And one of the things I hear you talk about a lot in the courses we have is how the past is exactly what was meant to happen. And I really struggle with that. I wonder if it's because you are Buddhist or if it's something that people of any religious faith have belief in. And with that worldview, I guess I can see that. But for me, I am agnostic. I'm spiritual, but I think I'm agnostic for now at least and don't believe in a god or goddess or higher power like that. And I love your teachings because while they relate to Buddhism, I do believe that the core concepts apply to anyone, no matter what they believe about spirituality or religion, like the mindfulness model or mindfulness of thoughts, training, and managing your mind. And I honestly do believe that to free my life, I need to free my mind. But for some reason, that idea that things that happen were meant to happen, that's hard for me. For example, you also talk a lot about how suffering happens when we don't accept what is, when we are resisting what is. And I have a hard time with that. And when thinking about the past, like when I made a fool of myself or said the wrong thing or made a huge mistake and how that was meant to be, it just doesn't help me. I can believe maybe that I was trying my best, but not the other thing. But I see that it helps others. So why is that? More helpful to me is to learn what I did wrong and maybe apply the self-compassion practices that you teach. But still, I can see how so many people get an actual relief from believing that things were supposed to happen that way. What am I missing? Thanks in advance, Pam." Okay, I love this question. And Pam, I love how you are so aware and paying attention to so many things like the need for self-compassion and how applying that when doing this work is so important. So first, let's take a look at the sentence, "It was always meant to happen that way." I want you to notice that it's in the past tense. Now, I don't believe that our lives are predetermined or that we have this some sort of unchangeable fate, right? I do believe in karma, but that's a really complex concept that I'm not going to go into today. But even karma, it doesn't mean that we have a predetermined destiny per se, right? So first, I don't believe that, all right? I don't believe that everything in my future is already pre-designed and that I don't have any control over it. So when I say it's always meant to happen that way, that is not what I mean, okay? I do believe that so many of us spend so much time arguing with our past and resisting our past and literally trying to change it and that it doesn't serve us in any way. When we think about our past, how we choose to think about it is either going to serve us or not. And you know, Pam, I've had other students as well say that it was meant to happen that way doesn't give them that sense of freedom or relief. So first, I just want to go back to a little something that the Buddha said, which was pretty revolutionary for a spiritual teacher, right? Which is, take what I teach and consider it. If it works for you, great. And if it doesn't, don't worry about it. So if a thought doesn't work for you, if the way of thinking about something doesn't work for you, even if it comes out of my mouth, then don't try to make it work for you if it doesn't, you know? Now, that thought, things that happen were meant to happen, that works for me and was actually transformational for me because it released me from any kind of argument that I have with my past. And I really have to credit my biggest shift with this to Brooke Castillo. She's the founder of the Life Coach School, where I received my most recent coach certification. And the way that she taught what she calls the model really gave me a way to apply a lot of my mindfulness teachings to real life, where now it's just a part of my being. My meditation and my yoga and all that, it helped me cope with the present, but self-coaching really helped me let go of my past and create the future I want in a really effective way. So sure, I had other methods I used before that, but it was a game changer for me and allowed me to progress much faster in the moment. And I also want to emphasize that I don't think thinking that the past was meant to happen has anything to do with being religious. I believe that things happen the way they're meant to happen simply because that's what happened. And if it wasn't meant to happen, it wouldn't have happened. You know, Shanti Davis said something, and I just love this quote. I have it at the bottom of my personal email signature, and I've had it there since my very first email address. And it says, if you can change something, why be unhappy? If you cannot change something, why be unhappy? And the past, my friends, is done and it cannot be changed. Your thoughts about the past can be changed, but not the events themselves. So there's no point in debating whether it should have happened differently and create suffering over that because it's over. You can't change it. So again, from a logical perspective, the idea that, quote, it was meant to happen that way, how do we know this? Because it did happen that way. So Shanti Deva planted the seeds for me to let go of the past and that there's no sense in getting upset about something I can't change. But the idea that the past was meant to happen, karma sort of started to teach me that, but it was in a way where I felt that if it was painful, that it was bad and that I created that bad thing. But the concept that it might even be helpful for me, that it was meant to be as a part of my growth in this time on earth, that's a concept I really got from Brooke, who I think she said she got it from Byron Katie. But really, it's just understanding, I know that that's how it was supposed to go down because that's how it went down. And when I try and argue with things that happen and I try to reconcile them or make them be something different than they were, it never works. So like Byron Katie says, you can argue with the past, but you're going to lose 100% of the time. Yep. So by believing that things happen exactly the way they should have happened and believing that they happen for me, I've released so much resentment and anger and anxiety that I had in my life. It really did set me free to believe that, but I really do believe it. Now, every belief we have is a choice. And I know that may seem kind of radical, but it's true. So you can choose to believe in a higher power or a god or a goddess if that brings you peace and that makes your life better, or you can choose to believe that there isn't one if that's what brings you peace and feels more true to you. One belief is not better than the other. It's better for you if it works for you. Now, from what you wrote saying it was meant to happen that way, that it sounds more freeing or peaceful. It sounds, Pam, like there's a part of you that wants to believe that everything happened in a way that can be used to serve you and can be used to make your life even better. That indeed it was the perfect thing to happen. Maybe not perfect in the way we think of most of the time, but that it was perfect for the bigger picture. So we have a whole month of this in Freedom School that we did this summer. It's called How to Change Your Past. And really the focus is on how to change our thoughts about the past, because that is what continues to cause us suffering. Not what happened, but our thoughts about what happened. If you forgot about what happened, you would have no more suffering about it, right? And I'm not saying that that's what you should do, but I'm just saying to recognize that it's not what happened, but our thoughts about what happened that are causing our present suffering. So I want to invite you to look for a way of thinking about your past that feels true to you, but also sets you free, okay? That's what works for me. I believe there aren't any mistakes, that if something was supposed to happen a different way, it would have. And I also believe that everything that's happened can be used to serve us. And that's just my personal choice. It's a belief I have that frees me. So I invite you to consider different ways of thinking about your past that serve you. So again, it's just a thought. It's a way of looking at things in a way that makes you feel the best way you can. Because why not? One thought is not more true than the other. Whatever happens can be stated in a way that's factual, but our thoughts about it, neither is more true. Thoughts are just sentences in our mind. And one of the biggest mistakes people make with mindfulness of thoughts is that they think thoughts are true. They are real, but not true. And hey, again, if my suggestions don't work for you, find a way to think about it that does work for you. So I hope that helps. And if you have more questions, Pam, please go to the Rebel Buddhist Facebook group, or since you're in Freedom School, you could ask me in there, but I'm in the Rebel Buddhist Facebook group. It's free. I'm there live every Wednesday and also answer questions that are posted in there. All right. Okay. Now let's move on to how to coach yourself, because it's so related to what Pam wrote. All right. Hopefully you have a visual in front of you from the website or the show notes. And if not, just imagine five lines like a ruled notebook. And I'll walk you through how to fill each of those five lines in, okay? So this model, the roots of it, I learned from the Life Coach School coach training. And the visual of how to use it is awesome. But I also want to acknowledge right off the bat that this isn't new stuff, y'all. The Buddha, who was a brown man, taught this millennia ago, the emptiness of phenomena, what was at the root of our suffering, how to train your mind. So even though I've always thought that our thoughts lead to our feelings, which drive our actions, which create our results in life, what's brilliant about what Brooke Castillo did with creating her model, you know, she also founded the Life Coach School, she took the universal idea of thought work and emptiness of phenomena and her teacher's ideas, her teachers like Pema Chodron and Byron Katie, and put it into a simple and practical tool that's really a great visual and very practical to use, more so than just advising to become mindful of your thoughts, for example. I've modified the process further based on my experience as a coach and from the lessons of my other teachers. So I integrate self-compassion and social justice. And for me, I call it the mindfulness model, but I'm going to teach you the bones of it today. So strap yourself in, all right? It's going to be wild. All right. Now, self-coaching is a tool that I use on myself daily. And it's also a tool I teach to my students in Freedom School and that I regularly use with my clients. And it's been such a blessing for me and for so many people that I know and that I've worked with, because it's such a practical way to apply spiritual teachings off the cushion, off the yoga mat. So let's talk about the components of the self-coaching model and how it shows you your mind and what those components mean. So first, we have circumstances, right? These are things that happen in the world that we can't control. The circumstance goes on the first line, and you can just write a C there to represent circumstance. And one of the things that goes under the circumstance category is things like events of our past. We can't change our past, and our past has no control over us. Nothing that we've done or said, nothing that was done or said to us has any emotional power over us now until we have a thought about it. Circumstances also include other people's behavior and what's going on in the world. They are facts, objective, not charged with emotion and without the story that our thoughts about them create. They are neutral until we have a thought about them. Like Shakespeare said in Hamlet, there is nothing either good or bad, but thinking makes it so. So that's our next category, thoughts. You can put that on the second line or just write a T there. I like to think of thoughts as sentences in our minds, simply that. And a belief is simply a thought that we've had over and over and over so much that then we call it a belief. And there are so many thoughts throughout the day, y'all. We have like 60,000 every day. So one of the biggest mistakes people make in doing this work is that we mistake thoughts for facts. So how can you tell the difference? All right. So you take one of those sentences in your mind and you break it down. And if there are any subjective terms, any adjectives, any descriptive words, any opinions, then we know that they're thoughts and not facts. Facts go in the circumstance line, the first line, without descriptors. Thoughts, which are sentences in our mind, they go in the thought line, the second line. And I recommend you keep the thought line to one simple sentence, not a run-on sentence or a bunch of different sentences. Understanding the difference between a circumstance and a thought is one of the most important pieces of the self-coaching model. Okay? If you learn nothing else but the difference between a thought and a circumstance, you will grow so much. I mean, really, it's one level of the understanding of emptiness, right? Which is super important to grasp on a path to enlightenment, right? So when you can clearly see the difference between a thought and a fact, when you can clearly see that thoughts are real but not true, not factual, you are well on your way to understanding how your mind works and how it affects you. And then you're on your way to training your mind to work for you instead of against you, to decreasing suffering for yourself and others. Now remember, circumstances are neutral until we have a thought about them. Circumstances are something we can all agree on. The headlamp is on. That's a black backpack. That person said this. This happened in my past. Now it becomes a thought when you start adding adjectives and opinions like this tragic thing happened in my past or this amazing thing happened yesterday, right? At any time that you start adding these subjective descriptors and opinions and judgments, now you're moved into the thought line. So only facts. Neutral objective statements belong in the first line, in the circumstance line. And when you're going through life, remember that too, okay? Nothing that happens is painful. Nothing that happens is amazing until you have a thought about it. And you know, you can see this because if it were true that it was just the circumstance that caused our suffering and not the thoughts, then, for example, the instant someone you loved died, you'd feel sadness. But you don't, not until you hear about it. Then you experience the emotion. And even then, the thought, the type of thought you have influences what you feel. If that person was suffering a lot, you might not even feel sadness right away. Maybe you would first feel relief. When you choose a thought about something, that's when you're going to determine how you feel. So your feelings are the next line, the third line in this model. And you guessed it, you can put an F there. And it's best if the feeling you write is just one word. It keeps it clean. It helps you more clearly see the relationship between your one thought and the one feeling. Because another feeling would be created by a different thought. So just have it be a one word descriptor, okay? Another thing that happens here that I see is that I'll ask someone what they're feeling and then they go off on what they're thinking instead, on their thoughts. Okay, so don't do that. I want you to have the feeling line just include the basic feeling. Happy, sad, angry, anxious, worried, overwhelmed, love, compassion. You can even Google different feeling words because some people really don't know how to describe feelings. So you can Google different words for that, okay? So again, the circumstance should just be the facts. The thought should just be one sentence. And the feeling should just be a one-word feeling that's describing how you're feeling in this moment because of the thought you're having. Make sure the two are connected, the feeling and the thought. Now, the next line, the fourth line, is actions, and you can put an A there. All of your feelings will drive certain actions. We've talked a lot about that on the podcast, how we want to think we all act out of like rational thought and that what we do completely makes sense logically, but that is just not how us humans work, right? If it were, we wouldn't be in all of the shit that we're in these days. So think about how when you're feeling compassion in a situation, what you might do versus how you'd respond if you were feeling resentful, right? You would have two very different actions. So those actions, they're going to be really varied based on what you're feeling. And the action line, by the way, is not just about what you do, but also what you don't do. It's about how you buffer with alcohol or food, how you might yell, or it can be how you don't leave a toxic relationship, how you don't apply for a different job, how you don't get out to exercise. Your actions always determine the results you co-create with the others in the world around you, how you experience the world and your life. So what you do or don't do is going to create a certain result. And that's the fifth and final line. So you can put an R there. So now let's go through the model again. Circumstances are facts. You have thoughts about those neutral facts, and that thought is always going to create a feeling, and the feeling is always going to create an action, an inaction, or even a reaction, right? And then that will create a result, which, my friends, is how our experience of the world works. When I first teach this to people, they can be like, why, what are you even talking about? I don't get it. Especially if they've never thought about emptiness or how things can be neutral. So then I have to go through a ton of examples and lots of models, right? Which is one of the best things you can do if you're wondering about this, right? Try it out. Go to the Rebel Buddhist Facebook group and show me some of your models or ask me questions that challenge it and get feedback. I mean, if you've ever watched the Tibetan monks and nuns debate, you know, they sit there and they argue different points and they go, huh, what do you think about that? Prove that true or prove that false. Because that, the debate is what really helps you integrate it. It really helps you see if it's true or not and if you want to adopt it or not. So I've had people say, what about genocide? What about rape? What about devastating earthquakes and the damage it causes? And, you know, we go through all those and how they fit into the model. And it's really transformative. When I was first in coach training, I held a study group where we would pose every single awful thing we could think of and how the model applied. And it was really powerful. And we do this on live retreats too. You know, we take world circumstances, personal circumstances, whatever you want to challenge with it and walk you through it. Because in the end, you have to apply it to really understand it. So let's do that right now. It might be hard if you're not with a pen and paper. You can still do this in your mind at first, but, you know, just give it a go. And if it's too hard, then just you can listen to this again later as well when you're somewhere where you can write it all down. So the first thing is to think about something that you have going on, right? Something you're struggling with can often be helpful, but it also works to pick something awesome. Now write that thing down. And depending on how you wrote it down, you're either going to classify it as one of those five things, right? As a neutral circumstance, thought, feeling, action, or result. So if a client says to me, I can't stop binge watching Netflix, that would be an action. Binge watching is a verb. I would put it in the action line. Someone will come and say, maybe I hate myself, right? And that is a thought. Or they can say, I hate my body. That is a thought. It's not a circumstance. It's not factual. It's a thought. They are thinking about themselves. And some people would say, no, it's a fact. It feels very factual that I hate myself right now. But because it's subjective, because the word hate is subjective, that's what makes it a thought. Because what does it even really mean to hate yourself? You know, when you say that to me, I may think, oh, you're just being dramatic. Or someone might think, oh shit, she's going to hurt herself, right? So because of this, it has to go in the thought line, in the T line. Now, if someone says, I'm so overwhelmed. That would be a feeling and goes in the F line. So everything in the world will fit into one of these five categories. It's either a circumstance, right? Something that happened today, yesterday, years ago, something that's currently going on. A thought, which is a sentence in your mind about that circumstance. A feeling resulting from that circumstance. Then an action or an inaction or a reaction. Or a result that you're getting, right? It'll fit into one of those. So once you've categorized whatever it is you're dealing with, then you can look at the model and see the cause of it. The cause of all our feelings, actions, and our co-created results, how we experience the world, our reality is always going to be a thought, which comes from our mind. And that's why I'm all about training your mind, becoming aware of your mind. Because if your mind and thoughts are responsible for everything that you feel and everything that you do and the results you get, it's super important. This is why meditation works. It leads to awareness, and awareness precedes change. The model just shows you your mind in action in a different way. That's why I refer to it as active meditation sometimes, right? Radical mindfulness. It's taking the teachings and applying it to real life in the moment in a very practical way where you can see your mind. Now, awareness requires a certain degree of effort. It takes effort to watch your mind and all those thoughts. And if you remember the motivational triad, we are driven instinctively to avoid pain, seek pleasure, and do what's easy, which explains why we don't want to sit and meditate at first, right? It's none of those at first. Maybe later, because it becomes pleasurable, but it can still cause discomfort and is often not easy when done for a long time. Doing models takes more effort than just moving on, but then you don't learn from your past and present. And just because you're not paying attention doesn't mean that you aren't thinking. You're just thinking on default mode and creating unintentional models and unintentional results. So that's why not choosing to be aware, not choosing to train your mind can be really detrimental to your life. You wake up one day and are like, how the hell did I end up here? All right. So once you've categorized whatever it is you're dealing with into a circumstance, thought, feeling, action, or result, then you fill in the rest of the model. So let's say you chose, which a lot of people are experiencing right now. Let's say you chose, I got laid off. Now that's a circumstance. We can all agree that's what happened. That can be proven in a court of law. We all know what that means. You're laid off. So what is your thought about it? You think the reason you're upset is because your boss laid you off, but really you're upset because of the thought you're having about it. There are so many options for our thoughts, right? I've had clients who this happened to recently who are like, right on, I've been wanting to quit and never had the courage. Or, yeah, now I can take time off to write that book or travel, do a road trip. And in fact, clients come to me between jobs all the time because they see it as an opportunity to start a new chapter, to do things differently. And others might think, oh, this is the beginning of the end, or I'm not going to be able to pay my bills. So can you see how there are so many thoughts you could think about this? Most of us don't take the time to think about what we want to think about something. We just let our brain pick something by default. But whatever we choose to think in that moment, whether it's consciously or unconsciously, will create how we feel in that moment. And how we feel in that moment will determine what we do. So if we think a thought like, this is great, I can finally start my own business, you're going to feel excited. You're probably going to get the business going. You're going to do what it takes, right? And if you have the thought, this is the beginning of the end, you're probably going to feel really bummed out, right? You're definitely not going to be taking action to create a new form of income. The action you're going to take is probably inaction, probably nothing, because then, of course, this proves that it is the beginning of the end, that you can't pay the bills, for example, that you're screwed, right? So the result you create is always going to contain a part of that original thought. It will often prove it. And there's more complexity to results that I can go into more deeply. I do it in Freedom School or in some of the weekly Facebook Lives and whatnot. But for now, I just want to keep it at that, okay? So If you plugged into the model a circumstance, a fact, then you examine what are the thoughts you're having about that fact, then what are the feelings that thought is creating, and then what are you doing or not doing because of those feelings. Now, I want to point out two things here. One is to be careful not to say things like, I am depressed, or that I am anxious. It's really important to stop identifying your being, yourself, with your feelings. Start using the language that you are feeling anxious or feeling depressed, okay? Second, be really careful here when you're asking yourself the question, what do I do when I feel anxious, or what do I do when I feel depressed? Make sure that you're capturing the action that is driven by that exact emotion. Remember how earlier I spoke about how some people switch to a different thought without knowing? We also refer to that as switching models. So sometimes people try and switch models. They'll say, oh, I feel anxious, so that helped me get out for a run to feel better. But no, that's a different thought. That's a different model that is leading to getting out to go for a run. So you need to find out what you do when you're feeling anxious. What action do you take or not take when you're feeling anxious? If you want to change the feeling of anxiety, then you'll think a new thought, a new feeling, a new action, and that is actually a different model. So in general, negative thoughts lead to unhelpful feelings and actions, and helpful thoughts that serve you will lead to feelings and actions that better serve you. So don't mix up your models. When you spend time understanding your mind and how it leads to certain feelings and the actions you take and the results you've co-created in your life, when you do this at first, it can seem sort of a downer. I just want to acknowledge that, okay? And it can lead to what I call using the model against ourselves. Like, we see this and we go, oh, look, I created all this BS, and then we get down on ourselves, right? We blame ourselves. But that is not the purpose of this work. It's not to blame ourselves, not at all. Sure, if you have a lot of negative thinking, you're probably going to have a lot of negative results in your life. That's how it works. But what it also means is that you created all the good experiences in your life. And it also means that you can create new results. Like now, when I feel overwhelmed or stressed or anxious, I ask myself, why am I choosing to have these thoughts about this right now? And usually it's because I'm tired. I need more sleep or more exercise or more self-compassion or self-care. Then I can say, all right, so I'm going to give myself those things that I need. Now, how do I want to feel about this right now? What do I want to create from this instead? So you see, when you own that you are creating your current experience of the world, you then have the power to create a new experience of the world. And it's actually one of the most empowering and liberating realizations to have. So please, be compassionate with yourself, because when you start understanding your mind, you may not like what's going on in there, right? You're going to be like, look at that. No, thank you. But look, don't blame yourself. In the end, our mind, it's a miraculous thing. Now, the other thing I notice when people first learn this is that when people start seeing the thoughts that don't serve them, their limiting and negative beliefs, they just want to change right over to feeling better and having a positive thought. But you really need to just pause and be with the current model for a bit. You need to really see how you are creating this, see the connection between your thought and your feeling and your actions or inactions or reactions, and how that's creating your current experience. If you switch too quickly, you haven't really integrated the awareness, the learning. You can still have sneaky thoughts that the circumstance really isn't neutral, for example, and you can skip over that because you just want to feel better. But because you didn't believe it as neutral, eventually you do go back to that old belief. And I also find that people need to apply self-compassion to the current unintentional model before going on to create an intentional model. It's like our being needs to be acknowledged that we're suffering, that we're having a hard time. So we can pause and do a self-compassion practice. We can say, I'm so sorry you're suffering right now. What do you need? How can I help? And then also allow that shitty feeling to move through you in its entirety. Don't resist it. Don't push it away. Allow it, right? Allow it in your body and allow it to move through. Then and only then can you effectively create an intentional model. you're going to be in a much better place because you'll understand the power of your thinking. You'll believe you created the current result, which will then help you believe you can create your intended result, and that indeed you are the only person who can. And that, my friends, is true freedom, liberation. Now, as for how to create a new thought and a new intentional model, that's a whole other episode. I actually covered that in episode 14, so be sure to check that out. Look, I do want to also let you know that if you're willing to do the work, right, to go through the discomfort of letting go of thoughts that no longer serve you and think new thoughts, and you're willing to make the effort, once you've thought that new thought and believed it enough times, then it becomes the easier thought to think. It becomes your default, right? That's where you want to get with yourself. All of these old thought patterns, they're like neuronal grooves in our brain. It's just the path well traveled, right? The path of least resistance. When you create a new thought in your brain, you have to create a new neuronal pathway, and you have to practice that until that is like a trail that gets well worn as you walk over it more and more times. And then that becomes the path of least resistance, the path well traveled, okay? So you want to get to the place where your thinking supports you and nourishes you, lifts you up in a real and authentic way, to where your thinking serves you and your higher purpose. It really is worth the discomfort and effort of realizing that it's not the circumstances that cause you emotional suffering, but your thoughts. And I just want to say that this does not mean that you don't also try to change circumstances, right? You definitely do try to change those as well, like the crappy job or the toxic relationship, you know, systemic racism, patriarchal systems. By all means, also work on changing those things, but see that it's your thoughts about those things that are creating your current emotional suffering about it, right? A patriarchal system? For sure, the systems within that structure exists, but feeling shitty about yourself because of it? That's your thoughts, which, by the way, are also planted there by growing up in a patriarchal society, right? How did those thoughts get there? But they're still your thoughts, which are optional. And there's more on that kind of stuff in another episode, all right? So the next time something happens that creates an emotional charge for you, write it down, use the model. See how the circumstance is neutral, how your thoughts, your mind is creating your current experience. This often means you need to be willing to be wrong about your old worldview, about what is creating your suffering. But if you're willing to open to that, then you're going to be willing to adopt new ways of thinking about your life and about yourself and those in your life. And this will help you create the life you were meant to live, to less suffering, to more joy, more compassion for yourself and for others, and to not wasting this one precious life on believing things that no longer serve you, on regrets and resentment and anger. It will help you free your mind and free your life. If you have questions about the mindfulness model or want to learn more about this, please go to rebelbuddhist.com and sign up to get access to the private Facebook group where you can ask me questions and where I go live once a week to teach about topics just like this. Go to rebelbuddhist.com. You'll also receive a free resilience training and the gorgeous Rebel Buddhist Manifesto, because I know this stuff can blow your mind, but what I get really excited about is you blowing your own mind, which is exactly what happens when you do this work. That's rebelbuddhist.com. And yes, if you're wondering, it's true. Enrollment for Freedom School is opening up soon, so get on the wait list at joinfreedomschool.com and be the first to know.